Well, hello, my little creepies. Oh, yes. It's that time again. We talk about UFOs and Bigfoot, paranormal, true crime, and conspiracy stories, and all things creepy. Yes, this is The Creepy Show. You can find us online at creepy.show. And I'm your host, the Master of Creep.
Tonight's story, The Teflon Twins Are Double Trouble. This is a story about two very evil twins, Patrick and Bartley, born on June 6, 1966, at 6 p.m. in Dundee, Scotland. They were born into a gypsy family known as the Highland Travelers. Their mother and father survived through stealing and scandals and blackmail. They were experts in separating you from your hard-earned money. They came from a long line of thieves and spent their entire lives ripping people off. The twins had a very unusual lifestyle. They never left the house together. They were never seen in public together. No one outside of the family even knew about the twins. They even picked a common name that they would use in all public situations. They were both called Django, spelled D-J-A-N-G-O, with the D being silent. Django is the traditional language of the gypsies. The family trained the twins to pickpockets at a very early age. The family never exposed the fact that they had twins. Everyone in the community was under the impression that there is just one child by the name of Django. And they used this fact to scam, cheat, and steal. They developed the system of always having an alibi. When one of the twins was out stealing, the other made sure that they were out in a very public place, often with reputable citizens of the community. They were known as the Teflon Twins. It was a running joke inside of the family. Their system worked every time. If someone tried to go to the police, the twins' alibi would overwhelm the prosecutors. Nothing ever stuck. If anyone in the community would even suspect the twins, the family would move. These twins were very smart, and they had a system in place that no one suspected. Their golden rule was to never be seen together, ever. That was their ticket to a successful life of crime. It was drummed into them at a very early age. Patrick and Bartley were growing up. As the twins became teenagers, their life of crime became more intense. They started stealing more valuable things, and of course, they never got caught. They only got together in the privacy of their home, and that was to plan their next crime. Stealing became very easy, because they were so good at it. After all, they have been doing this since they could walk. When Patrick and Bartley entered their 20s, they became bored with their life of small-time crimes. They wanted to step up into other things. They decided to move to America because they thought everyone in the United States was rich. This would be a great place to expand their life of crime. So in 1989, they flew to Los Angeles, California. Of course, they took separate planes and arrived at separate times. This was something that they did instinctively. Patrick and Bartley knew that the only way they could continue their life of crime was to make sure that no one ever saw them together. Patrick went to the DMV and got a driver's license, which he shared with Bartley. Whoever was going to take the car also took the driver's license. And as soon as they arrived, they started up their life of crime again, mostly stealing small things and then selling them in the newspaper. Life in the United States was much easier than in Scotland. There seemed to be a lot more opportunities to rip people off. You know, Patrick and Bartley didn't always get along. Just like any other set of twins, they would get into arguments. However, their common goal was to stay one person in the eyes of the public. That outweighed any disagreement that they would have. They knew that if they were ever exposed as twins, then their lavish lifestyle of unlimited money would come to an end. Patrick and Bartley owned three homes. They each had their own home, plus they owned a third home. This was the only place where they would get together, and even then they would arrive at different times. Their home was in the mountains, and it was well hidden. And the nearest neighbor was more than 1,000 yards away. This was the perfect setup. Patrick and Bartley both had cell phones, but they never called or texted each other. The only communication they ever had was in person. They would agree to meet at their common home on a certain time each week, and they never communicated using any kind of technology that was traceable. These guys were good. They were never going to be caught. During the next 15 years of scamming and cheating, they built up a great deal of wealth. Django was their common legal name. All of their profits from their life of crime was laundered through their common name of Django. If they bought a car, it was put in Django's name. Houses, credit cards, bank accounts, or anything legal was listed under the name of Django. The only thing they didn't have was a social security card and citizenship in the United States. Patrick and Bartley understood that they could engage in bigger scams if their common identity name, Django, was 100% legal in the USA as a citizen. They didn't just want a fake Social Security card. They already had that. The twins wanted to be legitimate Americans with all of the constitutional protections that came with being a citizen. They decided that it would be time for Django to get married. This would allow them to have a legal name of Django and get the Social Security card they needed. Django starts looking for a wife. Patrick and Bartley decided to date only rich women, someone who was recently widowed, who had a lot of money but not much experience in managing it. It took them several months to find the perfect lady to court. And her name was Charlotte. She was in her mid-50s. Her husband had just passed away the year before. He left her with several $1 million and a profitable business that continued to support her. She lived in a 12,000 square foot, 8-bedroom home with her two cats, Munchkin and Smokey. She was the perfect target for their plan to get Django married. Patrick and Bartley took turns being Django on dates with Charlotte. It only took them a few months to get her to say yes to marriage. After all, Charlotte was very lonely and not used to being single. After getting married, Django qualifies to become a U.S. citizen. Their next plan was to kill Charlotte and inherit all of her wealth. This was going to be their biggest scam of all. No more picking pockets for chump change. No more cashing bad checks for peanuts. Now they stand to inherit millions of dollars, a new home, and a profitable legal business. Patrick and Bartley spent more than a year coordinating and executing their plan to become legal and taking over Charlotte's assets. It was decided that Bartley should do the actual murder using an axe, while Patrick established an ironclad alibi. This was the same technique that they have used hundreds of times, and it always works. You know, it's a fact that everyone has a bad day once in a while. And although Bartley, who was pretending to be Django, thought that he knew Charlotte, he didn't know the whole story. You see, Charlotte grew up on a ranch, and she knew how to handle a gun. Not only could she shoot, but she was very accurate. She also had several guns hidden around her big house, and she could easily get to them in a very short period of time. Bartley chased Charlotte down the hall, waving an axe over his head. It was obvious to Charlotte that he was going to kill her. She ran into the bedroom where Bartley had her cornered between the bed and the door. Charlotte quickly reached for a hidden compartment built into her headboard of her bed. She pulled out a chrome-plated Smith & Wesson 357. With just one shot, Charlotte gave Django a new asshole in the middle of his forehead, right between his eyes. His thieving, corrupt brain matter was splattered all over the wall and ceiling of her otherwise impeccable bedroom. A simple word of caution: never bring an axe to a gunfight. The police were called, and Django was officially dead. The death was ruled self-defense, justified homicide. So, of course, Charlotte wasn't charged with a crime. Since Charlotte was legally married to Django, she inherited all of his certified wealth, his bank accounts, his cars, his houses, leaving Patrick penniless, nameless, and even homeless. Now Patrick was all alone. No more twin brother, no more alibis, no more protection. Patrick finds himself in a country without an ID, no citizenship, no security card, and not even a driver's license. Patrick decides to use his looks to haunt Charlotte, making her think that he is Django coming back from the grave to haunt her. Patrick watched the house, and when Charlotte went to the store to get groceries, he let himself in and turned off the alarm. He knew the alarm code, and he had a key to her home because he was half married to her. Charlotte came home and was shocked to see Django sitting on the couch, sipping a cocktail. Patrick, playing the part of a ghost, said, "I'm here to haunt you for the rest of your life." Charlotte couldn't believe her eyes. Why, how is this possible? She had just shot and killed Django about 48 hours ago, and yet here he is again, sitting in her living room. She didn't understand what was going on. However, she did consider this a threat to her life. And with one quick move, she opened up her purse and pulled out another gun and shot Django again. She stood over his body and said, "You can come back as many times as you want. I have plenty of bullets." The police arrived at the scene and took Django's dead body to the city morgue and put him right next to his twin brother. And that is when they solved the case. The detective told Charlotte, "These guys were twins and they were planning on killing you for your wealth." The final end of Django. Since Charlotte was officially married to Django, she decided to have the twins cremated and put into one container. She took the container back home and went to her garage right outside the cat door where there was a cat box. Her cats, Smokey and Munchkin, watched as she poured the ashes into the box. And she said, "Welcome home, boys."
As the casket closes on another creepy episode, we bid you farewell to the shadows that danced upon your fears. Oh, and thank you for joining us on this creepy journey into the unknown, where the darkness whispers secrets and the silence echoes within your soul. Find us online for some extra creepy content at creepy.show. And if you happen to make it through the night, don't forget to share this podcast with someone you want to terrorize. Good night, my little creepies. Sleep with one eye open, for the night is long and full of horror.
Ha 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 ha